Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, make some noise. Isn't he wonderful? How many of y'all love Jesus in the house today? You can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. We want to pray for you. I do want to shout out, speaking of sitting and standing, my wife today, she is at the Fairview Heights campus. I want her to stand up there, here and everywhere. Will you give it up for Pastor Nicole? She's amazing. She's awesome. Today we're going to talk a little bit more about the gospel, grace, and guitars, and then I want to put up what our definition of grace is. So y'all did so good last week in Florida, especially when I did the Catholic part. What's the definition of grace? Let's all shout it real loud. Why? God's unmerited, undeserved favor. And for the Catholics, let's do it. God's unmerited, undeserved favor. Remember that? If you weren't here last week, we did it. We figured I couldn't quite get everybody in the same rhythm, so I just did the whole, you know, Catholic chant, and they got it. It worked really good. So let's give it up for the 70% of our church that's Catholic and Lutheran. God's unmerited, undeserved favor. Number one, we get to thinking that we're no good. I think the guitar player, come over here. I got an idea real quick. So don't take it off. You don't need to take your guitar off. But this guy, I was watching him play a moment ago, and he had the guitar in his hand. And we said last week we put a guitar in an encasement of a case because it's valuable. And we said that you are the instrument, or you are the tool. Look at your neighbor and shout, say, you're a tool. Go ahead, all right? So the instrument, if I were to take this and put it in my hands, I can't do much, but give me like 30 seconds. No, I don't want it. You take it, because I'm no good. Go ahead. So watch this. He can do stuff that we can't do. I don't know what he's going to do with this thing. Okay, that's enough. Give it up for that guy. Isn't that incredible? How many can totally do that on the air guitar? How many of y'all got the moves? You just don't know what to do with it, right? So we can either be played by the devil or we can be played by God. So today we're going to talk about God's grace, his unmerited favor, but in particular, rewiring your brain. First of all, every campus, how many of y'all got a brain? Raise your hand. You got a big, how many of y'all, your head's big because you got a big brain? Raise your hand. You know? How many like me and you, your brain's like brand new because you barely use it? Raise your hand, okay? So there it is. So our brain, it's made up of neurons. In fact, I think they got it. These neurons that wire together, fire together. So today I want to talk about destructive habits a little bit. Things we do that we don't want to do. Anybody ever prayed a prayer, God, forgive me, and you meant it, like, I'm not going to do it again, and you did it again, and you did it again. Come on, raise your lion hands at church, okay? Then have you ever done it so many times that you're, like, embarrassed to ask God because you're like, I know I'm going to do it again, so you just kind of give up, okay? So these neurons that fire together wire together, okay? And it's this dopamine hit. Dopamine is the feel-good drug. Dopamine's that thing that says, I want to do it again. That feels good. And it takes us down good habits or destructive habits. Both of these dopamine in our brain, okay? So what we do a lot of times is we want to do better and we end up doing bad. Just because you do bad doesn't mean you are bad. You are not bad. The fact that you went to church today, here it is a Sunday morning, the last week of August, other people on a float trip, they're at Bon Terre, they're in Florida, they're just having a good time, and you came to church to sing I Love Rock and Roll, okay? And you came and you're worshiping God, you're renewing your mind, because there's something in you that says there's something more for my life. So the enemy and the enemy is always trying to pick you up like a guitar and just play you and put you under pressure. So the more you understand that your thoughts, I wrote this down for you, your thoughts shape your habits, and your habits shape your actions, and your actions shape your lives. Dr. Dwayne Dreyer said this, when our routines are out of sync with our purpose, we feel to disconnect. It reminds me of this thought, that our thoughts become our words become our deeds become our habits, and our habits become our character, and our character becomes our destiny. So if we can align our thoughts and our habits in alignment with our destiny, and we start getting a dopamine hit by something positive, then you actually see a lasting change. Because a lot of people are like, hey, I'm going to quit watching this, I'm going to quit doing that, I'm going to quit drinking this, and they're like, I'm going to do it, and they do good for a while. They white knuckle it,
I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to. And that works for a little bit. But willpower only, get this, it ignites a spark. Willpower just gives you a spark. And you're like, we do this at Thanksgiving. I've said this before. Anybody ever ate a huge meal at Thanksgiving? You're like, I swear to God, I'm not eating it for a couple days, right? And about 11 o'clock, somebody says, you hungry? And you're like, I can breathe again. Let's go for it, right? Because when you white knuckle it, you're like, I'm going to do better. What you're doing is you're tapping into your willpower, and your willpower only has so much power because it gives up, because it remembers all of a sudden that neuron that fires together. You're like, when I get here and I get stressed, that behavior makes me feel better. I get a dopamine hit. It relieves the pressure for a minute. And what we do is we try to change ourselves from the outside instead of changing ourselves with the inside. So I'm all about prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Prayer helps. But prayer oftentimes doesn't fix the whole problem, because a lot of times, most of the time, there's something that happened to you way back when that made you feel like you're less than, and you were abused, abnormally used, and now you get triggered, and then when you get triggered, you try to fight the flesh with the flesh. So let's go here to the scripture. Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says this. It says, for we wrestle, so it is a wrestle. I'm not going to drink again. It's a wrestle. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I want to focus on this for a second, flesh and blood. You and I have Jesus in our heart, but our grandpa is still in our DNA. So in our DNA, we still have genetic code that tells us that we're predisposed to do this, that, or the other. So now this scripture kind of reads different when you think, for we wrestle not against flesh. Now think about grandpa, think about grandma, think about the things that run in your family, in your gene pool. Might need more chlorine. Come on, somebody help right now. All right? So your flesh and blood, you're fighting against principalities. So the devil tries to put pressure on you to get you thinking that you're bad. So then you run away from God because you think that God thinks you're bad. Now, God knew that you and I were bad. So that's why, check this out, he sent Jesus on the cross to die for us. So we don't get what we deserve. We get what he deserves. So we're never going to measure up in our flesh and blood, but then we get that principalities and powers that are rolling against us, and they try to convince us that we're bad. Now, to change this, there's something I want to tell you. There is a version of you that needs to die, not in the physical sense. But there is a version of you that needs to die, that's clinging on to you mentally. It's a version of you that's saying, hey, I want to hide from the truth. I want to resist change. And what you're doing is you're sabotaging your own future, and you're setting yourself up to implode or explode. I brought this guitar up here. I did this last night as well. And so this thing's perfectly tuned. Everything sounds great. But then this particular, put more pressure on it. That's what the devil does to you. You can only handle so much. This is going to snap. I know it's going to snap. It's going to snap. I'm going to start drinking again. I'm going to go back to that vice and just putting pressure and pressure and pressure. There it went. This is what happens. And it's not the guitar's fault. It's my fault. I kept putting it under pressure, and you're no good, and you're no good, and your daddy was no good, and your mom is no good, and then all of a sudden, you just snap. And then we run from church, because the last thing you want to do is go to church, because you're okay when you're drinking buddies, you're okay hanging out with people like you, but then all of a sudden, you snap, and you realize, man, my wife is gone. I can't tell you all the times that I've walked down the aisle, and a guy will come up to me and go, man, pray for me, she left, all I said was, and I go, I don't think that's all you said, okay? Come on, raise your hand. If you know what I'm talking about? You said a lot of things that caused the relationship to snap. And so when we realize there's a version of us that must die, and we must say, wait a minute, I don't have the power to change on my own. I'm going to struggle with these habits, possibly for the rest of my life, but I'm going to overcome, because the Bible said, Philippians, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when you realize who you are and what you have, and then you have a dominion and authority, then you start getting new dopamine hits. So when you go to do that sin, instead of saying, it's just the way I am, it's just the way I was born, I'm never going to get over that. So say you're drinking. You go, instead of saying, hey, I'm an alcoholic, you're saying, I once was an alcoholic. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm not saying that I'm not predisposed to be an alcoholic, but I'm saying that I am not an alcoholic. And what it does is it rewires the neural pathways in your brain, and you say, that's not who I am anymore. Let's all shout at every campus, shout, that's not who I am anymore. Now, at first, you won't believe it. Why? There's a path. There's a path in your brain. It's a neural pathway. Just like this path is worn down. And you keep thinking, I'm this, I'm that, whatever your addiction is, put in the thing. And that path, easily, you just go down that path. As soon as you get triggered, there's certain smells that you can smell that remind you. There's certain things that remind you, and it triggers you, and you need to go back there. And when you rewire your brain, what you do is you start thinking, that's why I've said this many times, if you're smoking weed and you don't want to smoke weed, you sit there and smoke weed and say, I don't like smoking weed. I hate smoking weed. There's a time coming soon where this makes me sick. And eventually you rewire that path, and the path will look like this. You'll regrow that area. Please give me the next slide. And it'll look like this. And now it's hard to even identify where the path is anymore because you're not that person. Not saying that you couldn't find it if you tried hard. Not saying if we went in the weeds and dug down, we wouldn't see if there's something there in your past. But what you're doing is you're renewing your mind saying, hey, wait a minute. It's not because I'm undisciplined. It's not because I'm undisciplined. Perhaps it's because you're misunderstanding why you're failing in this area. I've seen people say that they're just out of control. They're undisciplined, but they got six-pack abs. They run a great business. So it must not be discipline that they're missing. It might be something of abuse that has triggered them to make them think that this is the way they are, and then they get temporary release because you get that dopamine hit. How many of y'all familiar with that dopamine hit? You get that Girl Scout cookie mixed in with some ice cream, you're like, I want more, I want more. There's not a person in here. It's like, don't act like we don't want to talk about SEX in here, because a lot of you, I've seen the nurseries are full today. You're like, I want more. Okay, you're like, I want more, but none of those. So you get birth control. Can I get an amen? It's just like, oh yeah. So by the way, we can teach you about, you know, how to still love each other. Doctors will teach you about that. I'll teach you about the word. But that dopamine hit happens, and when you start rewiring your brain and saying, I like being in relationship with my wife. Because lust doesn't go away. I've told you that before, that I hope it went away. And I was at the mall, saw an 80-year-old man being pushed by a caregiver in a wheelchair. A hot girl walked by, and he's like, turn me around. I thought, man, this goes on for a long time. Raise your hand if you know Taiwa. When you were young and you looked at older people, you're like, oh my gosh, they still, mom and dad still like to kiss. Like, they're old. They're like 40. Remember this? And now, how many of y'all are like 60 and you figured it out? You're not going to raise your hand. You're like, I ain't been enough. But the fleshless under control, these neurons fire together and it leads us down the wrong path. Now, number one, changing habits is hard, but it's not impossible. Realizing that it is not a punishment to change the habit, because when you first start changing the habit, sometimes you can seem like there's a loss because you automatically, under pressure, went back to there. But now you're rewiring those mindsets, and now you're going to get a new dopamine hit. And how you do that is with tools. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says this. For the weapons of our warfare, so we're in a war, they are not carnal, or they are not fleshy. We get our word chili con carne, that's chili with meat. We see carnival, that's fleshy. Your flesh is just, it's out of control. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. When I show God, God is, fill in the blank, what is God? Love. Everybody shout it. God is what? So they're mighty through love to the pulling down of strongholds. Some of us have strongholds that have been there for a long time. But when you realize that God loves you, then you can love other people. Next verse. When you can love yourself, you can, remember the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself? Raise your hand. Okay. You can't love your neighbor because you don't even like you. Because you put yourself under so much pressure thinking you're bad, when in reality you're not bad. Just because you did bad doesn't mean you are bad. My daughter, who was singing so beautifully a minute ago, she's incredible. She's unbelievable. She's an angel of a voice. But her, I know stuff about her. Okay, so you're like, oh my God, she's wonderful, and she is. Oh my God, she's talented, and she is, but she was still a little kid. One time we were at the St. Regis, Nicole can verify this, we're raising her hand there, and we couldn't find her. She loved candy and stuff, and she was about this tall, and her mom said she couldn't have any more candy, and we went into the hotel, they had tons of candy, and she was hid under the bed like this, and her feet were hanging out, and you could hear rappers, and we said, Esten, what are you doing? And she said, nothing. But she couldn't see us, so she assumed we couldn't see her. But we saw her in her sin and shortcoming, drug her out, chocolate all over, and asked her what she was doing, and she said nothing. We said, did you eat any chocolate? She said, absolutely not. She was a liar. She got it from her mom. Come on, somebody. I don't understand this. But the fact is, that's like us with God. We're hiding, saying we didn't do anything, and God says, hey, I love you. It doesn't make you bad, but I'm going to pull you out, and I want to teach you some things to give you a new dopamine hit, because you're trying to fight flesh with flesh, thinking you're bad. But if you realize that I'm your Father and I love you, oh, then you can cast down imaginations or images. You got to be careful now. When you and I were young, raise your hand when you remember that you drank water out of a hose. There was no bottled water. Remember when they first started selling it? You're like, this isn't going to work. Who's going to pay for water? We drink out of a hose. Come on, y'all feeling me right now? And so we pay now, and we had to go in and sneak and buy porn. You had to go to 7-Eleven or something, and you sneak and buy porn. Now, porn is free, and they charge us for water. So we wonder why people are bound and struggling with strongholds, and they have trouble casting down the images, because the enemy has set it up to where, even in your phone, right then, right there, an image comes up, and you're like, I wasn't even in the mood for that, but now I am. The same thing happens with the Dairy Queen commercial. Anybody ever been at home? Dairy Queen commercial comes on, Domino's pizza comes on, and your flesh gets carnal. So how do you cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of, what's that word mean?
Love.
You got to bring it to captivity. Captivity, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when the thought comes, you go, man, that thought came and I want to do that bad thing again. No, you're going to pull that down. You're going to pull that destructive image down. And then once you can't just stop it. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to. Then you're going to, because that's all you're thinking about. To walk away from something, you've got to walk to something, okay? So you walk away from it, and now you're saying, hey, I want to take some deep breaths, I'm going to take a walk, I'm going to work out, and now you get a new dopamine hit by working out. I know it's hard to believe, but I thought they were lying to me. For years, I got up every day, and I ran around the block 3 times, and then I kicked the block back under the bed and went back to sleep. But then once you start really working out, how many of you have done that? It's where you work out multiple times, and your body actually says, hey, I want to work out again. So what you're doing is you're reestablishing new paths. Put that path back up there one more time. So the path can be a negative thing, or this could be a path to church, a path to your campus, a path to serving, a path to where your kids can walk that same path. Your kids are not going to be who you want them to be. Unfortunately, they're going to be a little version of you. I can't stand my kids. They're entitled and out of control. They don't fall far from the tree. When my daughter was under the bed eating chocolate, I'm like, man, she's just like me. And she's lying about it. So she's like me and her mom. Come on, somebody. It's got both of our vices, okay? So we are going to establish some new thought processes that help us. So here's some weapons that'll help. Here's a few that'll help you right now. You can take a picture of this if you want. Number one, prayer. But you can't just, God, help me never do it again. I'm never going to do it again, because I've prayed that prayer. God, I promise you, I've broken heart and I'm never going to do it again. And then, I did it again. Okay, number two is getting the Word of God. That's what you're doing today. The more the Word you get on the inside of you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now you say, I'm praying and I'm in the Word. This, by the way, releases dopamine. Because if you ever got up in the morning, did your prayer time, and you worship God, maybe went to church, and then by the end of the day, you're like, I pretty much got my stuff together. Come on, raise your lion hand, right? I feel pretty. Okay, so the next one is prayer, Word of God, and then worship. When you're worshiping God, that's why it's important to go to church on time, because the part of the church service that God gets, the part you're getting right now is revelation and information that brings impartation and change. But the part that God gets is when you worship. He created us to worship. So when you're worshiping, carry that over into your week. Try it just for a week and say, wait a minute. When I listen to those songs, I think those thoughts, and then I end up going to the bar. When I listen to that on Netflix and it kicks me to the next one, then all of a sudden I'm in the flesh instead of, wait, for 1 week, what I'm going to do is, let's put up the path again. I'm going to put up a new path. And I'm going to say, I'm going to fast TikTok for a week. I'm going to fast Instagram for a week. I'm going to fast, I'm going to lose a lot of people, but Netflix. You're like, that's fine, I got Hulu. I got Amazon Prime, no problem. No. You get what I'm saying. So we get some new pathways, and then we get some time back. And then again, what you're doing is you're releasing this new dopamine, that feel-good drug that says, wait a minute, I'm getting my life in order. Because every step into order is a step into you feeling good about you. And a lot of times the reason why you're doing what you're doing is because you don't feel good about you. And then you and your wife get into it.
Try it over here. These people don't get into it, apparently.
Anybody ever had certain people or certain things that you, people that you love, and they triggered you, and that seemingly caused the behavior? But in reality, when we renew our mind, nobody can make you do that thing but you. And when you decide to change because you want to change, it shocks everybody. You're like, man, I'd love to change, but I can't change. Number one, I want you to stop saying I can't. Because then your brain goes, I can't. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, infuses me with strength. And then Isaiah 54 says this, 17. It said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you know my version is, no weapon formed against me, including me, because I self-sabotage. I talk bad about me. I'm mean to me. I would never be as rude to you as I am to me. I preached a sermon last night, and I had them edit like a lunch, but I said things that I didn't like. They said, you got to take that out, and you got to take that out. And they spent the night editing what everybody heard in Florida this morning. And there are things that I shouldn't have said. But then I realized, wait a minute, Dave, you're going too far. You're now destructive. There's things that was inappropriate and that wasn't right, and that you need to change that. But that doesn't, it was good. And when I tell other people who are people that love you, they're like, man, I love it when you say that. And you're like, what did you say? I edited that out. Heaven has no record that I ever said it. Isn't that great about this life? And that's the cool thing about the blood of Jesus. When you admit it, quit it, forget it, heaven has no record that you ever messed up. You just get up and you move forward knowing I'm loved by God. God is my shepherd. He is my father. And if he's not mad at me, I'm not mad at me. But many times, you're mad at yourself. So no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage. This is your right. This is your covenant. So when you go to church and you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not just going to church to get blessed. Number one, raise your hand if the church has blessed you, okay? Now you have to say, I'm going to put up the path. I'm going to put a new pathway, and I'm going to go probably today. If you can at all, you need to go through Growth Track. You're going to connect with God on a deeper level. Connect with people. You're going to get to know people. Connect with God. Connect with people. Then you're going to discover your purpose and make a difference. So one of the great things about my life, it gives me a dopamine hit, is I love what I do. This isn't work for me. I have fun. I don't think about it. I'm like, oh, gosh, what'd I say? I'm so nervous. I wonder. Everybody's looking at me. All the campuses are there. I hope I don't screw up. I'm just really scared. You realize public speaking is the number one fear of people? They're like, I'm scared to death. You know, I'm pretty comfortable up here. It's natural to me. But it didn't come naturally. But after you do it a good while, I enjoy it, and I watch your life change, so it gives me a dopamine hit. So I as much as I think it's awesome to work at Costco and Sam's, it's great. You get free samples, and it's awesome. You can take your lunch over to the lawn and garden section. You can watch the football game. That's awesome. But I never want to go and work for Sam's or Costco because I love getting to do this with you, and it gives me a dopamine hit. So what I'm saying is thank you. Give yourself a hand for helping me out. So the ability to rewire your mind is called neuroplasticity. Everybody shout it with me, neuroplasticity. Each time you repeat a behavior, you strengthen that behavior. You strengthen that pathway. These neurons fire together. It feels really good. I want to do it again. Then, have you ever seen a guy on the side of the road or a girl on the side of the road, and they were homeless, and you could tell that they were a drug addict? Teeth are gone, and they were there. They did not say, hey, at the high school, they threw up their high school hat. I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to be a drug addict. What they do is they go down a path, and the path leads them to all these neural pathways, and it feels good, And then they end up being bound by the thing that they enjoyed, because sin will always take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. So these behavior modifications that we say, wait a minute, this is always going to be that way. Now, these are old habits that have deep grooves, like that record player. How many of y'all enjoyed our creative team and they had that record? And a record, if you're old enough to remember, a record has grooves. And if you scratch it, it goes, wah. Anybody ever done that? Okay. Oh, Google it, young people. You're like, no, all my stuff's digital. Dude, we had records. We had cassettes. We had CDs, a Walkman. Remember trying to walk with that skip, right? You had a no-skip Walkman. We went through a lot of stuff for you just to have digital downloads. But there's a groove that hits. and you hit that groove, and you get to thinking that this is the way it's always going to be. I'm telling you right now, this is good news. You can forge a new trail. You can become the cultural architect of your life, and a lot of the ways that you do this is not doing it alone. The reason why I love AA is because people are in groups. Our church is in groups. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to be in your group. Let's go out to eat and talk about it today. You're a pain. Go ahead. Just try it and see if it works. You need to get in groups because you're only as sick as your secrets. When you get in a group and you have somebody that you can talk to besides just God, because God will forgive you 1,000 times a day, but people won't. They'll say it's just the way they are. They've always been that way, just like their dad. They're a loser. And then you'll hear it over and over, and you're like, I need a drink for sure right now. Just one last one, because I got to shut that voice down. But you'll never be able to shut the voice down because there's an internal dialogue on the inside of you, and these grooves are coming up. And so now what you're doing is you're sabotaging yourself because you're also looking at other people thinking, if I was like Pastor David, I'd be good. People tell me that. I don't want to go to church because I can't be good. Listen, man, I'm not good. God chose me. Because I was the foolish things of the world and confound the wise. He's like, this guy's so screwed up. If he gets it halfway together, he will really help people. Because a lot of you go to our church just to go, I'm not half as messed up as he is. I'm not too bad. So you, again, are not what you did. You're what you do. What do? You're at church today. You keep going. If you feel saved, don't feel saved. You drag your little kids in here every Sunday because you know eventually you're going to blaze a new pathway, a new trail, a new habit, and break the generational curse that has been on your family forever. I saw a social media post, and I love this post because it says, life on social media. Nobody shows you the backside. They got a good job. They went on a vacation. We don't even know who paid for it. We don't know. All we know is we're looking at an image. Cast down imaginations. I do it all the time. I see other churches and other churches doing things. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have done something with my life. What have I done with my life? What a loser. And then I talk to somebody else. They're like, are you kidding me? You got to be joking right now. You're like being humble. No, really. I'm very dissatisfied with where I am in life. And they'll go, I would love to be you, and I want to be him. And it drops me down. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I got a church that keeps showing up, and I'm not that good, but they seem to like me. And my wife likes me, and she doesn't always go to the same campus I do. We get along better that way, I guess. I'm just kidding. And my daughter, she stopped eating cookies as much. She doesn't lie about it. She got chocolate on her face, and she goes, I did it. I'm just like you. And so I'm here to tell you right now that your life is better than you think, and your potential is out there real close if you just get a hold of the fact that you're doing better than you think you are. And I want you to shout that. I'm doing better than I think I am. Casting down imaginations and every high thought that is erected. I want to read it in the message. I think they might have it. It says, we use our powerful God tools, smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure that shaped our life in Christ. That, by the way, is in the message. I didn't send it to the team, apparently, but it's good. So we got to say, hey, wait a minute. We got to use our God tools to smash that. Not going down there. Not going to white knuckle it. I'm just going to say it's not who I am anymore. Now I'm going to pick up a new resource. I'm going to listen to some worship music. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be around some people. And when I'm tempted, you know, you might even tell the people around you, hey, if you see me, like put duct tape on my mouth, and I start walking around the living room going, how great is our God? How great is our God? Know that I'm getting ready to go smoke crack again, okay? You can't leave it and not grab onto something else. By the way, side note, but that's how people die after retirement. You can't retire. You got to go do something. I'm going to preach till I die. My dad preached till he died. I'm not going to stop because I can't. Because this isn't what I do. It isn't a job. It isn't a vocation. It's a heavenly calling. I'm having too much fun. It's so good when I do go to heaven. I'm going to come back on the weekends. So rewire your brain to think, wait a minute, I'm not going to allow the devil to erect these thoughts in my mind. I am going to change these habits. How? 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're almost done. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new. It's always going to be this way. New creature. Old things. Everybody shout it. Why?
Old things.
Real loud at every campus. Why?
Old things.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Some of you, the habit that you don't like, maybe it's cigarettes, I don't know what it is, you didn't have a little burial service. You just say, I passed away. Bury it in the backyard. Put a tombstone out there. August of 2025, my vaping machine died. He said, can you go to heaven and smoke? Yeah. You get there quicker and you smell like hell on the way. Whatever it is, those are the kind of things that I say that they got to edit out. That wasn't what I said. It was worse, but you can only imagine. I'll eventually get it to where I'm not cussing during a sermon. How many of y'all believe in me that I'm eventually going to get there? It's very disappointing. You're like, I really don't think you are. Be authentically you as we close. Know that you can and you will rewire your brain. You're going to lose the weight. You're going to overcome the addiction. Quick story, Joyce Meyer, anybody ever heard of her? Joyce Meyer, her brother was a drug addict living in Arizona, and she cried and prayed about him all the time, and she eventually went and got him and saved him and rehabilitated him and spent all this money and brought him to St. Louis and put him on the security team, and he had a little badge, and he went to all the events, and she loved it, there he was, and he loved it. Because he didn't have these tools that you have today, he tried to white-knuckle it, he fell back. And he died in a crack house, an empty abandoned building in Arizona. They called Joyce and she flew out there and she went and saw his body. They said when they found him laying there dead, the only thing that he had on him was his badge that said that he was on the security team of Joyce Meyer Ministries because it meant more to him than anything. And he loved it more than anything. It's where he felt value. But because he didn't deal with it, it dealt with him. It took him further than he wanted to go. It destroyed his life. She cried like a baby as she told the story to us. And I want you to get a hold of this. You've got a good family. You've got a good life. You got some great opportunities. And I'm begging you today to say, I'm going to get these God tools. I'm going to start giving God all of my life. That means all of it. The money, you're saying, God, 10% of my income goes to you no matter what. I wouldn't even have this job if it wasn't for you. God, my time, I'm giving you 10% of my time every day when I get up. Before I grab the phone, I'm going to go to the throne. Before my feet hit the bed, I'm going to pray a prayer of solidarity. I'm going to pray a prayer unto you and say, God, thank you that you blessed me today, that you helped me today, that you forgive me today. Give me the strength and the power to do it today. And then set yourself up to win. And then for God's sake, stop hanging out with the people that keep tripping you up, because all you're doing is setting yourself up to dial that guitar string so tight that it ends up snapping. And then people look at you and they go, you heard about Bob? You heard about Janet? What happened? They loved God. They loved God, but they didn't deal with the neural pathways. I'm all about prayer, but prayer isn't always enough. You pray like everything depends on God. And you work like everything depends on you. And you go to church even when it's Labor Day. That's next weekend. You go to church when you don't feel like it, when it's raining, when it's hot, when it's cold, and eventually those paths, let's put that pathway up, that pathway becomes so clear that if you ever get up on a Sunday morning and your kids say, are we going to church today, you're going to know that you did it wrong. Never one time did I get up and ask my dad, are we going to church today? He'd have taken that guitar and hit me upside the head. Of course we're going to church today. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. I'm telling you, you're on the right path, sitting in these offices today, sitting in there at Weldon, sitting at Ferguson, or where, whatever campus you're at, you're there and you're on the right track. Now, before we close our eyes, I want you to raise your hand if you say, Pastor David, this message helped me a lot today. Okay. Second thing I want to ask you is, do you know some people that really could have used this sermon? Okay. Next week, you got to bring them. And you should go back on Facebook today, I take the sermon, the edited version, where I'm cleaner. You don't want the uncut version of last night, okay? And you go back and you send that to your friends at work and go, hey, man, this helped me, and I think it'll help you. Because friends don't let friends go to hell, and friends don't let friends go through hell. They don't want to behave that way. They just don't know how to deal with it. But you are learning the tools here that gives you freedom. Again, at Growth Track, connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Stretch your hands toward me today. Father, I pray right now for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, that they've been bound with these neurological pathways that have just beat them down with limiting beliefs, thinking that they'll always be that way. God, today they've learned tools essential to bring freedom in every area of their life. I thank you today that they're going to realize that they're loved by God, and because they're loved by God, they can love their fellow man. They can even forgive themselves and love themselves. God, I decree and declare right now that no weapon formed against them, including them, will prosper. I say that they're blessed, they're favored, they're anointed, they're strong in every area of their life. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Was that all right for today? If it was, give the Lord a hand.